Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Well, this Tuesday, April 9th, is the Israeli Knesset elections, the elections for the Israeli parliament. And you know, for a couple of years now, we've been promoting Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. So this is an important event for the Jewish people and for JTF, because we've done a lot to promote Feiglin's candidacy. Over 1 million Israeli Jews have seen our videos supporting Feiglin's candidacy because we've had a major advertising campaign on his behalf. So we've reached a large segment of the Israeli electorate, especially younger Israeli Jewish voters. That's the highest percentage that has been reached by our videos. But in the final couple of days before the election, this program is being taped 2 days before the election in Israel. And in the final couple of days before the election, we see a massive, organized smear campaign directed against Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. A massive campaign to scare people away from supporting Feiglin and Zehut. And this is a campaign that is being conducted by all of the other political parties in Israel who have tremendous power and money, and the news media in Israel. So this is going to be quite a challenge, getting Moshe Feiglin through this and enabling him to win despite this campaign. And we're going to be giving you some of the details of some of the things they've been saying about him. Unbelievable smears and lies. First of all, Feiglin has to win 3.25% of the total vote, 3.25% of the total vote, to pass the minimum threshold and get Knesset representation. That would give him the minimum 4 seats that you need under the law to get into the Knesset. There are 120 seats in the Knesset. You have to win at least 4 out of the 120 seats in order to get in. And that comes to exactly 3.25% in terms of the actual percentage by law that you have to win of the vote that of the total vote that will be cast on April 9th. That's a difficult and very high threshold for a brand new party with very little funding and a party that's expressing completely new ideas, bold new ideas for a country like Israel. Israel has never been exposed to these types of ideas like a free market and a volunteer army and all the other things that Feiglin has been speaking about. These are bold ideas, and people are often afraid to go with a small, brand new, underfunded party that comes up with bold new ideas. So this has been an uphill fight from the beginning. It's been a very difficult fight against the odds. And yet, amazingly, Feiglin, against all the predictions of all the experts and all the polls, is now on, at least on the borderline, passing the threshold, barely passing it on the borderline, according to the latest polls. The latest polls show Feiglin getting between 4 and 6 seats. So he's right above what you need in order to pass that threshold right now, according to the latest polls. So he has a reasonable chance. He has a reasonable chance of getting in. But there's always the danger that exists when you have a last-minute, massive campaign of attacks and smears and lies against you, that can always cause damage in the end. So JTF is trying to respond, and we're going to do some responding here on the English language program as well to some of the lies and give you some examples. For example, just to give you an illustration, the claim is made that Feiglin wants to eliminate all government subsidies for the elderly, the poor, the disabled. Now, it's true that Feiglin would prefer to privatize all subsidies eventually and create competition. But he does not want to eliminate subsidies for elderly people, for instance, or disabled people. He certainly doesn't want to eliminate it for disabled people. He does not want to do that. That's a lie. And the distortion of what he stands for, the complete distortion, is something that can frighten voters. And so it's something that has to be responded to. And it's difficult to respond to it because the enemies of Feiglin have a much bigger microphone than he does. They control the entire news media. They control the internet. They control the media. And the big political parties have tens of millions of dollars. And so Feiglin has tens of thousands of dollars. They have tens of millions of dollars. So the uneven contest here is overwhelming. And so Feiglin has to try to respond to these things as best he can. And he's been putting up a noble fight. And we're trying also in JTF to help him out with our Hebrew campaign. But it's an uphill battle in terms of responding. That doesn't mean, when I say it's an uphill battle, it doesn't mean that Feiglin won't get in. He has a reasonable chance of getting in. I don't know for sure what's going to happen on election day. Ani lo navi ve'ani lo ben navi, we say in Hebrew, which means I'm not a prophet and I'm not the son of a prophet. We don't have prophets. We haven't had prophecy for thousands of years. Since the destruction of the first temple, we haven't had prophecy. For over 2,000 years, there's been no prophecy. So I can't tell you, I don't have any prophetic vision of what's going to happen. I can only make logical conclusions based on polls and based on what I see happening from my communications with people in Israel. And based on that, I think he has a reasonable chance, but nothing is certain. And the danger is very real because of this last-minute smear campaign. Now, here's what Feiglin wants to do with those subsidies, for instance, just to give you an illustration. Let's say elderly and poor people and the sick and disabled are getting subsidies right now from the government. What he wants to do is create a situation where they can receive their support except through privatized companies that would be compelled to support them and that would be in the business of supporting them, but through competition in the private market. And in the end, they would get much better subsidies and much better conditions if there was competition and privatization. We've already seen in Israel one area where there was privatization. In the area of nursing for newborn babies, there was privatization. And it greatly improved the situation in that particular area, because in the hospitals in Israel are in a state of crisis because of government control and government regulation and government subsidies. And when the government puts its heavy hand on something, it's very destructive for the economy. So the hospitals in Israel are in terrible shape. And the one area, nursing, they had certain areas of parts of nursing that they privatized. For children, for newborn babies, they privatized certain areas of nursing. And when they did that, and again, it's privatized, so you could say, oh, they're eliminating nursing for newborn babies. What are we going to do? The newborn babies, there's no one going to take care of them. And that you could demagogue that. And some of the unions tried to demagogue that. But in reality, what it led to was a vastly improved situation, which was much more cost-effective, and the babies and the little kids, the babies and small children that were part of this nursing program got much better care, and parents were able to make choices. It was much better. And this is true in every area where there's competition. So Feiglin is not going to eliminate assistance, for instance, to people who are blind or deaf or disabled. He's not going to eliminate assistance to these people. And Feiglin is a Jew. He's a Torah Jew. He would not throw these people out on the street. He wouldn't throw 80 and 90-year-old Jewish people out on the street who can't work anymore, who are sick or elderly or disabled. He would never do that. Of course not. He will ensure that they receive the care that they're supposed to receive and the assistance they're supposed to receive, except he is going to make it more efficient and they'll get better care and more care. It'll be better and vastly improved. In countries like Switzerland, where you have less regulation and more privatization and more competition, in countries like that, the care for the elderly and the sick and the disabled is vastly better than in countries where you have massive government regulation. So they've distorted what he said and demagogued it the way the Democrats, you know, often portray Republicans as wanting to cut back all of these government programs. I wish that was true. I wish Republicans were real right-wingers and really would want to cut back some of these government programs and would want to privatize the government programs. But anyway, the same type of demagoguery is at play here against Feiglin, except in Israel, you can be a so-called right-winger and still be a socialist economically. It's crazy. All the parties running against Feiglin are socialist parties. Even Otzma, which claims to be, they claim to be Kahanists, they're socialists. They've criticized Netanyahu and his government for cutting programs. They say they're cutting government programs, which he never did. He never cut any pro-government programs. There were a couple of times in the past when he was Treasury Secretary that he cut the rate of growth in some of the government programs. And people like Baruch Marzel criticized Netanyahu for that. So these are socialists. They condemn Feiglin for this, for advocating privatization, for advocating competition, for advocating a free market. So they're socialists. They don't believe in the free market. And so the reality is these smears that are being conducted against him can frighten a lot of people, and we have to show people that that's not true. Feiglin supporters overwhelmingly are young people. Overwhelmingly young people. And it's not a coincidence. I mean, we, for instance, with our advertising campaign, because our advertising campaign is on social media, the audience we've reached is overwhelmingly young. And the people we've reached with our videos are the people, according to the polls, who are voting for Feiglin. I'll give you another illustration of the smears that are taking place against Moshe Feiglin. Arut Sheva, which some of you may be familiar with. Arut Sheva is the so-called conservative religious station, website. It used to be a radio program. It used to be a radio station, an offshore radio station. Now it's a website. The Arut Sheva in Hebrew, every day, article after article after article, smearing Feiglin. Attacking Feiglin, smearing Feiglin openly. I mean, the owner, Zalman Melamed, openly came out against Feiglin and wrote an article telling people you mustn't vote for Feiglin. And the reason Arut Sheva and Kippah, there's another one called Kippah. Kippah means skull cap in Hebrew. This thing that you see on my head. There's a website called Kippah, one called Arut Sheva, which means Channel 7. There's one called Srugim. Srugim means knitted, because the kippot, the skull caps that the Jews in Judea and Samaria wear are knitted. So these are three of the sites that people read: Srugim, Kippah, and Arut Sheva. And they're so-called right-wing sites, and they're not real right, they're phony right. They have rabbis and other people panicking over Feiglin's program to end government subsidies and to privatize religious institutions so that religious institutions will no longer be controlled by the left and by the government. Now, all the rabbis, all the yeshivas, all the religious institutions in Israel never tell the truth, never teach the truth or tell the truth. They're terrified of the truth because the government will cut off their subsidies. The Supreme Court compels them to teach things that are diametrically opposed to the Torah, like the LGBT, XYZQ, whatever agenda and all these other agendas. They're not allowed to tell the truth about that, what the Torah teaches. Because the Supreme Court in Israel and the left in Israel and the government says, no, you can't do that. It's discrimination, it's hatred, it's hate speech, you're not allowed. It's hate speech to say what God says in the Torah about these things. They're not allowed to tell the truth. They're not allowed to tell the truth. They're not allowed to tell Jews that they have to resist when someone comes to expel you, like in Amona. So they tell soldiers to obey orders, like Rafi Peretz did from the party that Otzma is running with. He told the soldiers, you have to obey orders and you have to expel. If they tell you expel the Jews, you go and expel the Jews from their homeland. You do what they tell you to do, you expel the Jews. And they tell people, don't resist if the government wants to come and expel the Jews. So, of course, they're setting the Jews up for a disaster when they do this. We have no real rabbinic leadership and rabbinic guidance because the rabbis, or the vast majority of the rabbis, are under the complete control of the government. The government pays their salaries. The government controls religion in Israel. That is very bad. That's something that Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Haram Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzaddik v'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo wanted to end. Our great leader, Rabbi Meir Kahana, blessed memory, may God avenge his blood, wanted to end that. He said, we must have independent rabbis and independent religious institutions and independent yeshivot and independent synagogues. And you can't have a situation where the government controls your money and controls your budget and dictates to you what you can say. That is a recipe for disaster. And so the two so-called chief rabbis of Israel, whom Feiglin would eliminate, the two so-called chief rabbis of Israel are bought and paid for by the government. They're corrupt. They're Shas people. Shas supported the Oslo agreements with Arafat, bringing in 80,000 Arab Muslim Nazi terrorists who were armed and who murdered 2,000 Jews. The Shas party controls most of the religious institutions in Israel, and Aguda, Shasa, the Sephardic government-controlled party, and then the other government-controlled party, Aguda, or the Torah Jute, they call themselves the Torah Judaism party. No Torah, no Judaism, nothing. All bribery from the government. These two parties control most of the religious institutions in Israel. And so you get a completely distorted view of true Torah Judaism from these parties. The Agudists, the so-called Torah Judaism party, that so-called party, they were part of Sharon's government when they threw the Jews out of Gush Katif. That's Judaism? Throwing Jews out of their homes and expelling them from their homes to hand it over to Hamas Muslim Nazi terrorists, to hand over the land of Israel to Hamas Muslim Nazi terrorists who are sworn to exterminate the Jewish people? That's Torah Judaism? For money, they sell their mothers. And Otzma and all these other parties, they're part of this. They're condemning Feiglin for saying that we should eliminate, that we should separate religion from the state. The reason Feiglin wants to separate, the reason I and Rabbi Kahana supported separating religion from the state is because we want independent rabbis and independent Jewish leaders and independent institutions without the government dictating what their agenda must be and what they must learn and not learn. Feiglin wants to completely privatize the education system and give out vouchers to parents so they can choose which schools to send their children to. If we have a voucherized system in Israel, Jewish kids will get a truly Jewish education for a change, something that is not happening now. Even Jewish kids that go to so-called religious schools have a completely distorted, cowardly, ghetto-minded agenda. They're learning from rabbis whose salaries are paid for by the government. And so they never learn the truth. All the teachers and rabbis that they're learning from are terrified of saying the wrong thing because then they won't get their paycheck and they'll get fired. Or the subsidy for the school will be endangered. They're terrified. And so what we get is a really corruption. Torah Judaism is corrupted by these people. Feiglin would end all of this and create a system of vouchers. So parents would have vouchers, they get money, and they would be able to use the vouchers to choose whatever school they want to send their children to. And you would have a blossoming, flourishing new school and education system in Israel with lots of true Torah education being taught if this happened. But all the other parties are smearing him. We're going to have our subsidies cut off for education. What's going to happen to our children? That's so such baloney. Where vouchers work, where vouchers have been tried, they work. Even with affirmative action students, they've worked. In the worst communities, they've shown good results. Even there, where it's almost hopeless. Can you imagine with Jewish brains? Imagine Jews with Jewish brains, knowing what Jewish brains can, if unleashed and liberated, what Jewish brains can bring. So, all of these people that get government subsidies that are in these other parties, all of them, they're corrupt people, they're phonies. They're all panicking and they're all piling on and attacking Feiglin, ganging up on him all at once. And this is what we're confronting right now. This is what we're up against right now. There's even one Otzma supporter who began spreading the lie that Feiglin has a secret plan to throw tens of thousands of Jews in Judea and Samaria out of their homes. What, are you kidding me? No one is more loyal to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel, than Moshe Feiglin. He is a hero in the struggle for the land of Israel. He was the head of Zu Arzenu. He's the one that who organized civil disobedience where people were blocking roads and true resistance to the Oslo agreements when Rabin and Peres were imposing Oslo on the people of Israel. And he went on trial for it. And in the end, he was put on probation. He got community service. But he was put on trial and convicted in court of so-called sedition and civil disobedience. He did what Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi did. Civil disobedience. And in Israel, that's called sedition. Because Israel's not a free society and not a free country. And Feiglin wants to make Israel a free country. Because Feiglin believes that if you make it a free country, and if you give people true freedom, if you allow people like Chaim ben Pesach, or like someone like our beloved leader, Rabbi Meir Kahana, if you allow us to express our views freely and openly like we can do in the United States, if you give us that power in Israel instead of criminalizing speech, because in Israel speech is criminalized. A lot of the things we say in the United States that are perfectly legal in Israel are crimes. It's racism, it's incitement, just all types of crimes. It's insane. Feiglin wants to change all of that. He wants to liberate Israel from that and create a true free country. Now, I don't agree, and we in JTF do not agree with everything Feiglin stands for. He favors legalizing marijuana, which I think would be bad, and we're against that. And there are other things that he favors that we don't agree with. We agree with about 80% of what he stands for, about 20% we disagree with. But the foundation of most of what he's saying would be a tremendous improvement for Israel. A tremendous improvement for Israel. And so that's why we're fighting for him. And the big test is coming on April 9th. If you know people in Israel, please contact them and tell them to vote for Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. If you have relatives in Israel, friends in Israel, tell them, vote for Zehut, vote for Moshe Feiglin. The left always used to say, and even the phony right, give peace a chance, which means surrender. That's the only thing that's ever been given a chance in Israel is a policy of surrender. Israel has never pursued a strong policy. Give Feiglin a chance. Give the freedom that he wants to give to the people of Israel a chance. And watch what can happen to the Israeli economy. Imagine an Israel that is blossoming and prospering and liberating all Jewish brain power in Israel. Even now Israel's a technological powerhouse. For its size, Israel's a technological powerhouse now. But if you didn't have all the regulation and socialism and such huge taxation and other burdens, can you imagine what it would be like? The benefits for Israel and for the whole world would be unbelievable, would be tremendous. And then many Jews who are not yet assimilated and who still have some Jewish identity, a lot of them would want to go on Aliyah, would want to go to Israel. It would be an attractive place to go to economically. Of course, Jews should go to Israel even if it's not economically the best place to go to, because the land of Israel were required to go there. But and the reward for going there is great, and the punishment for not going there is great. But imagine what would happen if Israel became an economic powerhouse. And the whole world saw what a prosperous, incredible powerhouse Israel had become. That's what Feiglin can create if he had the power. Now, I don't know if he's going to get the power. Even if he gets four seats in the Knesset, I don't know if he's going to be part of the government coalition. I don't know if he's going to have the power to do what he wants to do. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to do that the first time around. But even if he can't, if he gets in, he's going to introduce new ideas to the people of Israel, which he's already been doing in the campaign. For the first time, young Jews, you see young Jews being interviewed by the media, why are you voting for Zehut? And they say, because we want to free up the economy. We want lower taxes. We want less regulation. We want to free up the economy. This is the first time I've ever, in my lifetime, that I've ever heard young Jews in Israel speaking like this. Before, everybody assumed, well, you have to have high taxes and high regulation, and you're protecting the poor, and all the mythology of socialism. That was accepted across the board in Israel before Feiglin came in and introduced these new concepts. And so what he wants to do is essential for Israel. A lot of the things that he proposes, would, at the very least, he would be introducing great new ideas, and this is why we've conducted a major campaign on his behalf, and I hope that he gets in. I don't know if he's going to get in. I don't know for sure, and I certainly can't make you any promises. It's up to the voters in Israel. I can't promise you anything. The only thing I can promise you is that JTF has, I can tell you JTF has done everything it can to try to support him and help him, and that we'll continue to do whatever we can that would be beneficial for the Jewish people. That I can promise you. We will continue to do that. So we'll see what happens in a couple of days. Everybody said that it was a hopeless endeavor when we started out. He didn't make it in any of the polls for 2 years. Every poll showed that he wasn't even coming close to the threshold. He was getting 0.3%, 0.4%. It's just a joke in the polls. Now the polls right now show him just barely above, just making it over the threshold, and everyone in Israel saying he's the surprise of the election. He always said he would be the surprise of the election, and he has been the surprise of the election. Let's hope that that stays true until election day. Let's hope the smears are not successful, and all the corrupt people and all the special interests, the media and all these other people who have held back the Jewish people from redemption, have held the world back from redemption, because redemption for the whole world comes through the Jewish people and through Israel. Let's hope they don't succeed in stopping the voice of Moshe Feiglin from being heard in the Knesset. If you agree that his voice has to be heard, a voice for a true free market, a voice for an end to government control of religious institutions in Israel, a voice that always speaks out against the torture of Jewish kids by the Shabak in Israel, by the Israeli KGB. They torture Jewish kids and round up Jewish kids and do terrible things. If you want a voice that will fight for the rights of Jews to live throughout the land of Israel, that will fight for the rights of Jews to defend themselves, that will fight to give Jews a prosperous nation with true prosperity, if you want that to happen so that we can move forward and create progress on the road to eventually bringing the final redemption, if that's what you want, JTF has been pursuing that. We've run an independent right-wing campaign on his behalf. Because Feiglin has been saying he's not on the right, he's not on the left. And the reason he says he's not on the right is because the so-called right has betrayed Israel over and over again. They've given up land. They claim to run on a right-wing platform, and then you get left-wing policies. This is what has happened under the Likud. Every single time, the Likud has always betrayed the voters, always lied. All the promises they made were all lies. Everything Netanyahu says is a lie. He's a pathological liar. He has never kept his campaign promises. The only promises he keeps are promises he makes to our enemies. Let's understand an important rule here. When these politicians promise to do something bad, believe them. And that's true in America too. When politicians promise you they're going to do something bad, believe them. When they promise they're going to do something good, generally speaking, don't believe them. Okay? Unless it's someone who's really honest, like Moshe Feiglin. So that's where we stand now. I think all of us should pray. We should all pray to Hashem, to God, to help Feiglin get into the Knesset so there'll be a voice of truth. And we should all join with JTF and help JTF so that we can continue this fight, because even after election day, that's just the beginning. The day after the election, the fight goes on. Whether Feiglin gets in, if he doesn't get in, God forbid, then the fight goes on, and we're going to try to get him in the next election. If he does get in, God willing, then the fight goes on in order to empower him while he's in the Knesset and give him the power to bring his message to the people of Israel and hopefully to be able to enact some of the things that he's been pushing for. And this way he'll be also stronger in the next election. So we hope he gets in, but whether he gets in or doesn't, if he gets in, God willing, or if he doesn't get in, God forbid, whatever the situation is, our fight goes on. Because in the end, the good guys are going to win in the end. The good guys are going to win in the long run because God, Hashem, controls the world and has promised final redemption. One way or another, it's coming. The final redemption's coming. It can come gloriously, without pain, without suffering, in a wonderful way, if we do what's right. If we don't do what's right, it will come anyway. Because God has promised Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, all the prior generations. So it's going to come anyway. But then it will come with tremendous pain and suffering and take much longer. It's up to us. It's up to us to decide which way redemption will come. And so, let's all pray for the results on April 9th that we want. Let's pray for a positive result that Feiglin gets in and the Zehut Party gets in. And let's continue to work together as a team. Because if he does get in, this will be quite an amazing accomplishment. Because everybody said it was impossible. There was no way. He can't get anywhere. Itamar Ben-Gvir from Otzma said he won't get more than 5,000 votes. That he's a megalomaniac thinking that he can get in. He's not even going to get more than 5,000 votes in the end. Everybody said there's no way he can get in. Well, that'll be quite a stunning development if he does get in. According to the polls, we have a shot now at achieving that stunning development. Let's hope it happens on April 9th. We'll see the results then, and we'll continue the fight. No matter what, we'll continue the fight, and we'll keep pushing for the truth. For JTF until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.